Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
Imagine being in a box, 6x6 box, mm-hmm. with a bed and, you know, your toilet, everything and right there. Imagine that, just sitting in there for 23 hours. So that's what my life looked like for about 6 months in that box. What I did was I treated those 6 months like I was in college. Mm-hmm. One of the best books I read was What Would the Rockefellers Do? Mm-hmm. What Would the Rockefellers Do? That was a very good book for me because it taught me a lot about generational wealth and how they passed down the trust from generation. And right now, they're still worth billions of dollars from 1935 from an oil company. Mm-hmm. So I start, you know, really getting my mindset into that, to where look, I'm going to make sure I turn these houses into gold.
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for a dollar a day? Would you be interested? Well, inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you 2 coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, helped Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, helped Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and help Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is a father, investor, entrepreneur, mentor, coach, philanthropist, and real estate expert extraordinaire. To date, our guest has done well over 8 figures in real estate acquisitions and has leveraged his expertise to teach others all across the country on how they can do the same. Whether he's hosting the Landlord Masterclass, educating new entrepreneurs on how to acquire their first investment property using business funding, or providing value on platforms just like this to educate aspiring investors on how to find, fund, and flip their first deal, the value that this gentleman provides to anyone looking to dominate in the real estate space is why his success in the space isn't coincidence, it's confirmation. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Anthony Goodwin, better known as Workout the Landlord. What's going on, family?
What's up, man?
How are you, bro?
That was amazing right there.
Hey, man, listen.
I feel good, man.
Listen, you came in looking presidential. I had to introduce you presidentially. You understand?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
My brother, how are you?
I'm feeling good. Life is good right now. I'm happy to be here with you, mm-hmm. Give you some game, everybody else some game in the real estate field, mm-hmm. life, and just maintaining, man. I'm just happy to be here.
Man, I'm excited to have you on. I love bringing real estate investors on to talk all things real estate. And it's always dope when I sit down, not only with people who are credible, qualified, and have been killing it in the space, but who have a story that is so powerful that for me, the real estate is just the icing on the cake,
exactly.
right? And I really wanted to be able to talk about all that and more in the sit down. So I'm excited. I know the people who are watching at home are excited, and I'm looking forward to getting into it. Now, I did an okay job introducing you.
No, right? No, you did it. That was pretty good.
I appreciate
Shannon
it.
Shannon Sharpish.
I'll take it and I'll run with it. But listen, nobody knows Workout the Landlord. Nobody knows Anthony Goodwin better than the man himself. So for those who aren't familiar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Workout?
Okay, so Workout the Landlord is somebody different from Anthony Goodwin. Mm. So Workout the Landlord, went through a lot of stuff in his life. You know, workout came from my old life when I was in the streets before, because I had to lead. I have to lead with that as well.
Yes, sir.
So by me being in the streets when I was younger, it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot of things that college couldn't teach me. Mm-hmm. You know, at that age, it gave me like the grit, the grind. The, you know, some days we didn't eat. You know, mm-hmm. things like that. It taught me, you know, that's what workout is. Anthony Goodwin is the person that I became after, you know, me leaving jail. Mm-hmm. You know, and after me going through my jail stint, you know, wanting to be that seven-figure person.
Right.
You know, want to learn real estate, you know, teaching people real estate, you know, all those different things. And but basically, workout the landlord and Anthony Goodwin's ties together and, you know, it's me, you know. So that's what, you know, that's who Anthony Goodwin is. Father figure, love giving back to the community, love giving back to the younger guys that came before me and, you know, the people that's going to come after me. I had to give them that game of, listen, you know, the streets is not where it's at. You know, it's not going to be there. That's, you know, it's just a trap.
Right.
So, you know, that's who Anthony Goodwin is.
I love that. Let's go back a little bit, man, because like I said, I would be remiss if I brought you on here. We just got straight into real estate, but we didn't talk about everything that's led up until you get into this point.
For sure.
Let's go back to 2005.
Yeah.
17 years old, just purchased your first property. What exactly did life look like for you at that point?
Honestly, all right, so I had got some case money. It wasn't a lot of money. It was like around like $30,000.
Okay.
But for us, like for the people that I grew up around, me and my mom, my sister, my aunt, we all stayed in the same room. Mm. You know, 3-4 of us in the same room. My uncle, you know, my other uncle, they lived in the same room. So around that time, you know, getting $30,000 is like hitting the lottery.
Bro, it's gold.
It's gold. I'm like, but at the same time, we didn't know what to do with it. Mm. We didn't know what credit was. I didn't know. So I really was fumbling the bag. Mm-hmm. Like, I was spending it on clothes. But my aunt was like, listen, won't you purchase this house from grandma? So it was, she only wanted $5,000 for it. Mm. So I gave her $5,000. We did a deed transfer. And that's how I purchased my first house. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm in the streets. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, my uncle's selling drugs. Like, it's just like my life is just all over the place at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I was a kid. So from that time up until like 2008 and 2009, I was purchasing houses. That first house that I started with, that house took me like 3 years to finish.
Why?
Because I didn't know what I was doing. I got contractors. They charged me $40 a sheet when it's only like $10 a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I got electricians, don't know what they're doing. I don't know contractors. I don't know the world. I don't really know what's going on. I just got a house.
Right.
So, you know, that's what it looked like for me in 2005. Really nothing.
Mm. To be 17 years old, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. Like, you get $30,000 that falls into your hand. You know, like you said, the youthful exuberance, you kind of blow some of it. But
yeah,
you take a portion of that, you go and buy your first property at 17.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to just imagine where you're at mentally at that time and just what's going on. Because most 17-year-olds, they're not thinking about property.
No.
You're thinking about girls, you think about sports, maybe thinking about school. You balance that, plus, like you said, coming from the streets of Philly, like, what are those conversations like with the peers and the people that are around you? What does that influence look like?
I would say I was very mature, like, at my age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted to, like, not be in the streets. I wanted to, like, have houses. I was seeing all these properties all around. I'm like, how is people really buying these houses?
Right.
So when I got the chance to buy one and to generate, you know, $1,000 a month or something like that, I'm like, all right, listen, I want to get 10 houses like this.
Right.
To where though I'm getting $10,000 a month. So that was my thing. I always wanted financial freedom, like, since, like, I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
When I got that $30,000, I didn't want to really lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to figure out how to invest it at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when I started trying to purchase houses, because the money was always going to be there in that house, no matter what. Even if I didn't know anything about equity or none of that. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, listen, I'm going to put a tenant in here. I'm going to get $1,000 every mm-hmm. month. I'm going to try to get another house, and I'm going to keep doing it, repeating the cycle. So that was my mindset around that time.
Did you always have, because it sounded like you were a very ambitious young man at that time. Did that come from the kind of upbringing you came from? Did that came from seeing how certain people in your family move? Like, where did that come from?
I'm gonna say that came from survival. That came from survival, man. Like, some days, like, you know, I didn't eat like that much, or, you know, my grandma, like, it came from being in that environment to where, as though, I got to figure out a way to get some money to eat,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, at a young age. I'm talking about 12 years old, 11 years old, 13 years old, trying to figure out how I'm going to eat. And it's crazy, because at the same time, I always ran into money. Like, I always had money, but we just didn't know what to do with it. So I would say it started at a young age, 11, 12 years old, just having that survival instinct.
When you got that first property, like you said, you kind of had, like, one foot in. Like, so you were starting to get your hand involved more in the legit money side with real estate. But you still, because of the environment you came from, you were involved in the streets. Did you get any discouragement from the people that came from the street side? I'm sure you had some peers that would look at you like, bro, what you doing buying property?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Come on, we ain't flipped this
for
bag.
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
What, talk a little bit about that.
So people didn't really, they like, you bought a house, like what are you
doing?
What are
you about to do with it?
Like, what are you doing?
What are you about to do with it?
What are you about to do with it? So, I got the house, but people, it was one guy in my neighborhood that was actually buying houses. Mm. His name was Sean Abraham.
Okay.
He was actually buying houses. I'm gonna be honest with you, he sold drugs.
Okay.
So I'm like, how did you do this? How did you do that? So he ended up showing me just a little bit of things, but he was, you know, he was so far gone. Mm-hmm. He just, you know, so for me, I'm like, you know what? These people in the neighborhood, they like, man, you gonna keep doing what you're doing. Like, I don't like, they ain't really care.
Right.
Like, they really didn't care about what I did, to be honest. They really wanted me to just sell drugs. They wanted me to be a drug seller. You know, they wanted me to go to jail. And then once I started doing something different, they like, okay, they didn't believe in it.
Right.
They didn't believe in it, just like with anything.
So from 2005, you get that first property. Those next 10 years, from 2005 to 2015, I understood you went on to get, if I remember correctly, 12 more properties.
Yeah, 12 more, yep.
Based out of Brewery Town.
Brewery Town, yep.
But once again, one foot in on the legit side.
Exactly.
One foot on the not-so-legit side.
Exactly.
You end up having some run-ins with the law. What happens then?
So, all right, so I had a little cousin as well. He was just showing me, like, all right, and I don't know if y'all familiar with the Daily News, but in Philadelphia, everybody knows what the Daily News is, right? So that's the newspaper. So it was properties in the Daily News for $2,000, $3,000, $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
So with me taking the little money that I had and making a little bit of money, I just start purchasing more and more properties because I didn't know what to do with the money.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before in another interview, I didn't want to spend money on no females.
Right.
I didn't want to hang on the blocks no more.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing else for me to do but purchase houses. Like, that's what I felt like. I felt like it was coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was the lifestyle. What was the last thing?
Just so you had some run-in with the laws at some time. So talk a little bit about what happened there.
All right, so with me still being in the streets, I ended up getting locked up because I was hanging around the wrong people. And, like, I'm going to take my accountability, too. Like,
yeah.
I was still in the streets. I was still trying to make money because I didn't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do. So let me look at this camera for right here, right?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. So for the people out there that's still in the streets that don't understand, right? You can't be judged off of your prior mistakes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn from those mistakes. If you don't learn from them, then you're going to be the same person. So for me, I learned.
Mm-hmm.
I learned from my mistakes, and that took me to the next level. I said, you know what? I'm getting out of the streets, and I'm going to focus into real estate. But at the same time, I had to go to jail for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I feel like everybody feels like they're going to learn, like, once they go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to go to jail, and then that's going to be pretty much it. A lot of people, that's why a lot of people... you ever heard of recidivation?
Nah, what is that?
So that's when people, you know, they go to jail, they act like they're going to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they come home, they back selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go back to jail. And that keep happening, like, you know.
It's just a cycle.
It's a cycle that happens. And it happens a lot
mm-hmm.
because they don't know what to do because they scared to do anything different outside of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really just the mindset of it all.
Let's unpack that. A bit more, because I think, and I went back and looked, I think you're the first person, if I'm not mistaken, that I've had on here that's actually been incarcerated.
Yeah.
So there's certain experiences that you could speak to that, I mean, I can't even begin to imagine.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I want you to bring me back to that time in your life. What's going through your mind when you get handed that sentence, you walk through those cell doors, and they close it behind you? Where are you at that moment mentally?
To be honest, like, I have, like, so many different stories, but, like, when I came to jail, graded for it, right? What they told me was my uncle worked there. So when I came in there, I automatically had to go to the hole. So the hole was...
What is the hole? What does that mean?
The hole is 23 and 1. 23 hours in the cell. Imagine them being
in a box.
Imagine being in a box. 6x6 box with a bed and, you know, your toilet, everything and right there. Imagine that just sitting in there for 23 hours. So that's what my life looked like for about 6 months in that box. So the only thing I can do was but read and think about all the past mistakes that I did. So because you're going to go crazy by being in there. So what I did was I treated those 6 months like I was in college. Mm-hmm. I said, you know what? I'm going to read on religion. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read one of the best books I read was What Would the Rockefellers Do? Mm-hmm. What Would the Rockefellers Do? That was a very good book for me because it taught me a lot about generational wealth and how they passed down the trust from generation. And right now, they're still worth billions of dollars from 1935 from an oil company. Mm-hmm. So I start, you know, really getting my mindset into that, to where look, I'm going to make sure I turn these houses into gold, because at the end of the day, it's just a product.
Right.
You know, houses is just another form of a product. Mm-hmm. So I say, you know what? I'm smarter than doing what I was doing before. And that's what changed my life those 6 months.
You know, it's crazy. It's funny that you say that, because even for me listening to other people who've been involved in the streets, one of the things I always hear, and you could probably attest to it, is a lot of times people who were once in the streets that reformed, they always say like, hey, if you could sell drugs, you can start a successful business.
Yeah, for sure.
Because drug dealing in and of itself is a business.
It is.
Even you just said it yourself, like drugs is a product, houses are a product.
This is a product.
You just got to make a decision on which one you're trying to learn.
Exactly,
to sell. It just so happens that, you know, because of the environment that some people come from, they decide to They lean towards that.
Yeah.
You talked about, you know, What Would the Rockefellers Do? From learning more about your story, that was one of the big books that you read, were the transitional books that you read. Another one, if I remember correctly, was Real Estate for Dummies.
Yeah.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Exactly.
What were some of the other things that you learned from studying, you know, these books that also helped you to shift your mindset and get to that space where it's like, man, enough is enough?
I mean, the main thing was me looking at the past people. Like, I'm looking at the past by looking at all these people that's locked up right now. Mm. Like, all these people that's locked up did a lot of bad things. They kept doing bad things. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the successful rate of the people that, you know, has millions and billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where I want to be at. Mm-hmm. Why do I want to be in a jail cell, you know, with people with felons and this and that that's doing a bunch of bad things? Even though their environment, they didn't learn from their environment, but at the same time, at the end of the day, you got to start learning. Mm-hmm. You can't just keep on saying, oh, my environment, this is my environment. Listen, look, you have to start learning from that. If you don't learn from it, then you're not going to get better. So for me, that was my learning point. Mm-hmm. That was my learning point to come over to this side. Look, we're going to flip these houses. Mm-hmm. We're going to be successful in the housing business. We're going to teach these kids that they don't have to sell drugs. We're going to come over here. That's make some millions and billionaires. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what pushed me.
I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, because it's a reoccurring theme here, right? When you were in the streets of North Philly, one foot on the legit side, one foot on the not legit side.
Yeah.
When you started getting on the legit side, you had people, you know, who were still in the streets like, what's Bull doing? Like, come over here. You know, get away from this house stuff. Like, bro, we in the street.
Yeah, for sure.
You get locked up and you have that turning point again where it's like you find these books and you're like, okay, I'm in the hole. I'm going to just go all in these next 6 months on just changing my life.
Yeah.
But now it's on another level, because when you were in the streets, you know, you're surrounded by like drug deals and all these different things. Yeah. You're in prison. You with real killers.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, for sure.
Real drug dealers.
Yes.
Any and every name under the book, they're in there with you. I mean, the influence now is at an all-time high.
Exactly.
What's happening there? Are you now, is it a situation where people see you, you know, you're in your cell reading and they're like, you know, what's the dude doing?
So that's the same, I'm glad you touched on that. So a lot of people looked at me like I was a weirdo. Like, believe it or not, they looked at me like he's in the cell like all the time. Like, I come out and work out and I eat, but at the same time, I ain't need nobody for nothing, because I had money still coming in from my real estate.
Yeah,
my mom helped me down, my girlfriend helped me down. I'm getting $1,000 every month on my books. Mm-hmm. So they looked at me like I was a weirdo, or I had some money and I was just trying to stay out the way. Mm-hmm. So I believe in order for you to make the transition, You're gonna have some haters. You're gonna have some bad eyes on you. Mm-hmm. So that's the part that people don't want to do. Like, they don't want to have the bad eyes of their friends or fake friends or whatever on them. They just want to, you know, all right, look, are we selling drugs? We're selling drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna stay down with that. But I'm like, you know what? No, I ain't selling drugs. I'm moving over to the real estate side, and I don't care what you think about me. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think. I'm gonna do what I need to do for my family and for longevity.
Did you feel compelled while you were inside? Because I'm sure you had some relationships that you formed when you were in there. Did you feel compelled while you were inside to kind of like sit down with a couple individuals and be like, yo, listen, you getting out in X amount of years, I'm getting out in Y amount of years. I need you to read this book, bro, because when you get out, we about to hit the ground running.
For sure.
What did that look like?
I mean, so, yeah, I did. I gave a few books to a couple people, but they don't, listen, I'm trying to tell you, man, people's mindsets are, like, really messed up. The only thing, so this is what I would say, right? People only think about money. They don't think about how they're getting money and why they're getting the money. They thinking about, okay, let me go buy this right now, or let me go buy, even in jail, yo, I got to buy these cakes, I got to buy these soups. This is how they thinking about. They're not thinking about what we doing when we outside. You know, they thinking about what we're doing right now in this jail cell. We're making these chi-chis, and we're going to eat this food.
What's a chi-chi?
What is that? So listen, the chi-chi is Roman noodles, cheese, and the meat.
Hey, yo.
You know?
Bro, I ain't never, I knew the meals was great.
Yeah.
Okay. Ramen noodles, cheese.
Yeah, cheese.
Now, you didn't say a type of meat. You just said meat. You just said chicken,
it's
fish.
It could be whatever meat you want to put in there.
Yo.
Pause.
I'm with you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, like, they just thinking about right then and there. Just like how people out here think about it. They think about how we going to eat today, how we going to get to. They not thinking about what's happening in 5 months or what's happening for a year. So I would say I was a visionary. To whereas though I dreamed about the future. I knew if I put this work in, if I'm trying to get to 10 million, if I get to 3 million, I'm cool. So I always thought like that. Like, they didn't think about that. They thought about how we're going to eat today and how we're going to eat tomorrow. And they just focused on that. For me, I thought about how I'm going to eat for the rest of the year. How my family going to eat? And that's what separated me from a lot of people.
I'm getting goosebumps, man. Okay. You serve your time. You get out.
Yeah.
2015, 2016, if I remember correctly, or is it a little bit later than that?
It was the end of 2015.
End of 2015, yeah. You get out. You have all this information. You did all. You put your head down. You did the work. Now you have opportunity. Yeah. Now you're a free man. What happens once you get out of prison?
So when I first got out of prison, I'm going to be honest, it was hard. Even though I was sitting on, you know, millions of dollars in real estate, you know, quote, in equity. But I read the books, but I still had to put the work in.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, damn, how do I refinance? Because they gentrified the neighborhood. If people don't know where Brerytown is a neighborhood that I had a $2,000 house, and eventually that $2,000 house was worth $500,000 12 to 13 years later. So I come home to that. But at the same time, I don't really have that much money. I have some money, but not that much.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out a way and navigate, how do I get tax returns?
Okay.
How do I fix my credit? How do I do all these things in order to unlock the equity? Because they're just not giving it to you just because you had a house.
Yep.
That's the part that people don't understand. So for me, it took me a year and a half to 2 years to work for this company to get tax returns. It took me 2 years to a year and a half actually to build my credit. I went to the bank and tried to get a bank loan. They said, listen, you need X, Y, and Z. I came looking just like this. I ain't had the glasses on. I came looking like this. I'm dapper. I'm like, yo, listen, I need this loan. I got this house worth X, Y, and Z.
Right.
They like, all right, do you have tax returns? Do you have a profit and loss statement? Do you have any of these things? And I'm stuck because I didn't have none of it. So it took me about close to 2 years to actually do those things. And then after the 2 years, I went back in there. I had a hoodie on this time. I'm like, I already know I'm getting this money. So give me this money. So I refinanced the property that I own, cashed out, and I got like $320,000 on my first deal.
There's so much to unpack there. I want to start with the fact that you get out and you're starting behind.
Yeah, for sure.
Bad credit.
No credit. No credit.
Excuse me. No credit. No nothing.
Yeah.
And you have all this money sitting inside of a property that you can't even touch.
Yeah.
And now you have to do the legwork of putting yourself in position to now be able to leverage the equity. One other thing you didn't touch on that I learned from reading your story, I think you also had like $60,000 like tucked away in like a security box.
Yeah, safety deposit box,
And then I said something about like your aunt had like taken most
of
it.
Oh, man. Oh, dang, you know everything.
Yeah, I do my research.
Yeah, so that safety deposit box, I had $60,000 in there. And I thought I was coming home to the $60,000.
You thought?
Yeah. Thought I was coming home to the $60,000. Right. She spent so much. I think it was like $8,000 or something like that left. It was really literally was nothing left. And that's why I came home.
And it's so crazy because you talked about the power of mindset, right? Before jail, in jail, and even when you got out of jail.
Yeah.
I think for most people, that's the moment where they would look at all the work that's in front of them and be like, man, let me just go back to what I, you know what I'm saying? Let me go back to the streets.
Exactly.
But you were kind of faced with a crossroads where it's like, all right, cool. Am I going to commit to these next 2 to 3 years of just putting my head down and doing the work so I don't have to go back to where I came from? Or am I just going to say like, man, bump all this. I know what comes easy to me. I know what I have access to. Let me just go back to the street life, right?
Yeah. So it wasn't no plan B. It was always like, it was a plan A or a plan A. I'm doing real estate. Mm. Like it wasn't no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I'm like, listen, I'm going to do real estate, and whatever journey it takes me on, mm-hmm. I just did 6 years. I'm not coming home to go back to jail. And at the same time, I'm not trying to hurt my environment. Yeah. You know, like I'm not trying to hurt my environment. So I'm like, look, I'm going to do whatever I have to do for these next. I'm sitting on millions. I just got to do the steps to get there. Mm-hmm. So I feel like everybody's like that. You just got to do the steps to get there. Mm-hmm. Fix your credit. You know, get in position to get to the money. You know, and that's how I felt. I felt really, very, very good about where my life was going and the path that I was going to go. It wasn't nothing going to stop me.
The big question that I have is why did you ultimately, because when you came out, you hit the ground running and started your real estate investing, or continue to build, excuse me, on your real estate investing journey in Philly. Mindset is important, but I think environment is just as, if not even more important, because that's what influences the mindset.
Exactly.
So my question is, at that moment, why didn't you tell yourself, yo, we got to get out of here? Like, I'm going to start investing, but it's not finna be in Philly. Like, I got to leave.
You know what's crazy? Because, so a lot of my friends, friends, whatever, right? They start looking at me still like different. Like, what are you doing? Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to sell drugs with me. And mm-hmm. I said, listen, I'm not doing that no more.
Right.
So they basically got mad and, you know, they kept doing what they was doing.
Yeah.
So a couple years down the line, once they see what I'm doing, they're like, damn, well, all right, I'm going to get into real estate now.
Mm-hmm.
I just sacrificed my life.
Yeah.
You want to get into real estate now after you see me put all the work in?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the craziest thing to me. Like, I put so much work in, and now you want to come in and steal my thunder. But at the same time, I still gave them a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, now go fix your credit. Go do the things that I did. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to do them.
They didn't want to do it.
They didn't want to do them. So, you know, I would say environment. You have to get out of that environment. You can't be in the same environment with people. So if you have a person that's selling drugs over here, you can't be in an environment with them just, you know, doing real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be around people that's doing real estate.
Yeah.
So that was my whole thing. It's really about how people look at you.
Yeah.
Like, for you, like, I don't know, like, your background totally, but mm-hmm. did you go to college?
I did. I dropped out, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I know you probably had a lot of bad eyes, like, damn, he dropped out on,
yeah.
on and did this, and he's starting to credit repair mm-hmm. podcast and this and that. And mm-hmm. you like, and then now, in the beginning, they probably wasn't saying nothing.
Come on now.
Let me check them DMs out. Yo, listen, can I get on your podcast, bro?
Max.
Let me get on. Bro, where was you at?
Yeah.
Where was you at when I was in the mud?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it all comes down to. You had to be strong. If you mentally weak person,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to make it in life, because you're going to basically have people influence you at all times.
Hey, business owners, what if I told you that for just 90 cents a day, you could get access to $45,000 in business funding? I just launched my Credit Mastery community, where inside you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program worth tens of thousands of dollars that's going to teach you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that's going to be working with you to reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be providing you 2 coaching calls a week, where we're going to teach you the exact banks that you need to go to get access to anywhere between $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat access $50,000 in funding from Chase, help Alvin get $8,000 in funding from Amex, help Matt boost his credit score by over 150 points, and help Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below the video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
I've heard of a term called survivor's remorse, where it's like you're the one that kind of escapes.
Yeah.
And now there's this sense of guilt, because it's like, damn, I should be the one to save everybody from my hood. Did you deal with that at all? Like, when you made it to the other side, it's like, I am legit now.
Yeah.
I'm making my millions. I'm doing what I got to do. Was that ever a part of that transitional process for you?
Yes. It's crazy, because I'm actually going through that, like, right now. Like, okay. I've been going through that. I've been struggling with that for years. Because I'm not like a Instagram guy, for real. I just got popular on Instagram, but right. I'm really not an Instagram guy. I really put the work in. Mm-hmm. So I really had real people that was in the streets. I really, you know, those things. So mm-hmm. they don't think nothing like me at all. Mm-hmm. So when I be trying to tell them, yo, get your credit right. Let me go do this. Let me go that. It's like talking to them in Chinese. For real, it's like I'm talking to them in Chinese because they like, bro, I don't understand that. Right. This is what I get, bro. I don't understand that. Or, you know, I bought my friend a car. I did a lot of things for my people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they don't look at them like me. And I think is the most thing that you can do that's like really wrong mm-hmm. is giving them the game, but also not being able to get them a seat at the table to learn mm-hmm. from you. So I really wanted to, like, some of my best friends, I have them learning, even though they might be struggling. It might seem like a struggle to them mm-hmm. because I didn't want to say, "Hun, take $30,000 because you're going to blow it.
Facts.
You're going to blow it because you don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then now you're going to have your hand out again. And then your hand is going to be out again and again. And then at the same time, I'm not going to want you around me.
Yeah.
So listen, you can have a seat at my table or nothing.
Yeah. I think there's a difference between helping someone and saving someone.
Exactly.
So I think what I've come to learn is that more people want to be saved than they want to be helped.
Exactly.
I think to be saved is for you to come to me and no questions asked, I just put some money in your pocket and I just let you go do whatever.
Exactly.
The problem with that, though, like you just said, if this ain't right, bro, you're going to find yourself in the back. Like, most of the people I know that have money problems really don't have money problems. They have mindset problems. They have bad habits.
Yep.
They don't know how to turn a dollar into two. They always think about how to spend versus how to invest and how to save. Yeah. And they always find themselves, yo, let me hold this, or yo, let me get that, or yo, bro, yeah. I just need this. It's always I just need.
Yep.
And you, bro, you've been I just needing for like 10, 20 years
come
now.
Come on.
So those are the people that I want saving. The people that I want help are the individuals that I come to you and be like, yo, bro, let me go. Can I work for you?
Yeah. Like, but it's not too many people like
it's
that.
It's not too many people like, because it's hard, bro.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard to be like, even for me in my business, I'll never forget this. One of my closest friends, he was going through a tough time financially. And he could have easily came to me and been like, yo, bro, let me hold X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
He saw what I was building with my company. And he was like, how can I come in and ask? Matter of fact, he even said, he came in and he was like, yo, bro, can I work in this department of your business? He's like, I've been studying your business for X amount of time. I want to see if I can go ahead and serve here. Like, I want to work in this department. We talked around the negotiation around the money. Not only did he come in and work, he was one of the best workers that we had for X amount of months. But, bro, that's tough.
Yeah.
Because, one, your ego...
It's pushed to the side.
Like, you got to humble yourself and be like, damn, like, I used to, you know, I'm older than this dude, potentially. Or I think, in my mind, maybe I feel like I'm better than this dude, but I gotta work under him, or it feels like that.
Yeah.
But if you're, like you said, a visionary and a long-term thinker, what you really got to look at it is like, nah, I'm planting seeds for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just getting myself right. I'm giving myself that cushion, but most people just don't see it that way.
They don't.
They want to be saved. They don't want to be helped.
Exactly. I would say planting the seeds, but you know what's crazy? Because a lot of people... they don't want the seeds planted.
Mm-hmm.
They want what's right now. What can you give me right now that's going to benefit me right now?
Yeah.
That's how I would say 97% of people are.
Hey, man.
What are you giving me right now? If I can't benefit, it's F you.
Yeah.
And that's not good. So that means you got to get around from those people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be honest. I love my people, but at the same time, I had to get from around them.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because I was born around you don't mean I have to physically be around you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and build some seeds with people that's wanting to build them seeds, who want to plant some seeds. So that's where it all comes to.
I remember it was a dude. I forget his last name, Matunga. I forget his first name. But if he's watching, shout out to him. You know who you are.
Yeah.
He talked about the difference between, like, and you'll appreciate this. He talked about the difference between, like, day ones and day twos.
Yeah.
And he was just like, day ones are the people, like, you didn't have a choice in, like, being born into this environment or being born into this family. And those are the day ones. Those are people, like, came out the womb.
Yeah.
This is who I got.
Yeah.
But then there's a point where you go through where you went through. Yeah. I went through a transitional phase where it's like, bro, I'm just tired of being tired.
Yeah, exactly.
Something got to change.
Yeah.
That's when you find your day twos, the people that align with those values and those goals and those principles, right? But, you know, once again, some people never get to that point.
Yeah, they don't.
A lot of people, they feel like, nah, I come from this environment. These are my day ones. I'm a rocker. You selling? All right, we selling drugs. All right, yeah. You in the streets? All right, we in the streets.
Yeah,
and it's just like, bro, it don't work that way.
Yeah, that's just following the leader and just. I seen this story happen so many times that I just didn't want it to be me, and I think, like, eventually, like, when I pass or die, I think people are gonna be like, all right, like, yo, listen, he was a real one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't follow behind the trend. Mm-hmm. Like, he did his own thing. You know, even like to going out to Africa to create wells to give water to other families. Like mm-hmm. that was, you know, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I wanted, you beat me too. I wanted to talk to you about that too, because I actually saw you went to Ghana.
Yeah, with the Ghana. Yeah, yeah.
You went to Ghana, and that was earlier this year. Yeah, and you donated. Was it one or was it multiple? Or just one water?
It was so. The water supply that I created was for 1,000 people. That's mm-hmm. out of a village.
Okay.
For 1,000 people, it was very big. The kids loved it. They loved it.
Going to Ghana, I think is a, not even I think, I think anyone who's black or just of African yeah. descent, that's always a big benchmark in yep. our community, because you always hear the talk about like, yeah, we got to go back and see where we came from,
exactly.
see our roots and all these mm-hmm. different things. You know, you went out there for a decent amount of time and you were able to, you're in a position now where you were able to give back. What were some of the lessons you learned from going out there that you were able to bring back, whether it's to your personal life or to your business?
To my business, listen, man, them people are hard workers. Hmm. Like, they make like $30 a month.
$30
a month, bro. $30 hey. A month. Their rent is only like, you know, $10, $12
right,
and stuff
right,
like
right,
that.
Right, right,
it's
right.
cheaper, but at
right.
the same time, they're so happy. They're so willing to put the work in to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when they come to America, they make so much money
mm-hmm.
because they have the work ethic. Mm-hmm. You know, the U.S. people are, they don't have no work ethic. They it's the gimme mindset. Give me this, give me this, give me that.
Mm-hmm.
For Ghana and Africa, they come over here for Asians, for all ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
Like they make their money because they have that drive. So that's what I seen over there. They have the drive. They love. They're happy by just being black.
Mm-hmm.
Just by waking up, eating some food, drinking some water.
Mm-hmm.
So just learning those things and just sitting there, I'm like, dang, I gave water to all these people. It was mm-hmm. clean water, mm-hmm. clean fresh water to all these people. It was an amazing thing. To be honest, it was just mind blowing.
I even bring that up too, because off camera, like for example, most people who've seen you do interviews before, they know you to have like the chain and everything
yeah.
else. I come in. You blew me awake. I'm like, bro, yeah. dude, presidential, yeah. suited and booted. You know what I'm saying? Plain Jane, Rolly, and beyond.
Yeah, chilling, yeah.
And one of the things I talked to you about was like, you know, I was expecting X, and you're just like, yeah, I just, you know, just I don't really care for that stuff anymore,
yeah.
right? Did the Ghana trip have any effect on that, or was that something that was always embedded in you?
No, so I feel like yes, like part of it is
right.
because like you don't always have to be loud money. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like, of course, like. I think like we raised off of okay wearing chains and you know gold and stuff like that. Of course, I'm not saying I don't like it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying like I don't have to show my money in that way. And at the same time, when you showing money like that, you're gonna have wolves on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're gonna have people looking at you like, oh, he got that chain.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take that chain.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want to take my tie, right? You don't want to take my tie.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know what this watch is. The mm-hmm. average person don't even know what this watch is.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, it's really a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So I still was stuck in the mindset. Well, let me wear a big chain. Let me wear Cartier. Let me do what everybody else do.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm doing what I want to do. And at the same time, I still feel better at the same time.
How do you think social media plays a large role in that? Because you talked about, you know, having wolves on your head, and
yeah.
a lot of people, like for example, they may go to see your Instagram or you on YouTube
yeah.
and they see the jets, they see the designer, they see
yeah.
all these different things. And it's just like, I want what Workout has. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
Right. But in the same vein, I know that you do stuff like that more so to motivate a certain
yeah, motivation.
People and inspire. So it's like two sides to the coin.
Yeah, it's two sides.
Right. What do you think about the role that social media potentially plays in just like, okay, on one hand, I'm inspiring, but on the other hand, I'm creating envy. I'm creating jealousy. I'm creating, you know, potential problems for myself. So it's like, now I got people breathing down my neck,
yeah, exactly.
trying to knock my head off.
I would say I can't really do nothing about that.
Mm.
I can't do nothing about the way another person feels. That's why I always try to give back to people.
Mm.
I always give back to the youth.
Mm.
And, you know, I listen, I took 30 kids to Miami. You know, pay for their flights, hotels, food.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to hate me for that, man, it's like, come on, man.
Right.
It's like, is nobody else doing, you know, doing what I'm doing? So I feel like if that's how you want to feel, that means you have something in your heart that's really wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just trying to help the community. And at the same time, if I want to hop on a jet or do what I want to do, well, so be it at
mm-hmm.
the end of the day. But I feel like there's something inside you that's messed up.
I want to speak to... Because you've been able to establish what you established through your commitment to the game of real estate. We talked about it. You're about to do about to be 20 years in.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Yeah. So you're not new to this. You're true to this. You've been doing this for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
I want to speak to some of the newer investors and help them out, because you have some people that come from similar environments like you.
Yeah.
That want to have just as much, if not even more success as you did, doing it the right way, doing it through real estate.
Yeah.
So if I'm a newer real estate investor that's listening to this pod, what are some of the actionable steps I can take? I'm starting from ground zero.
Yeah, ground zero.
Nothing.
So, listen, this is how, like, is, you know what's crazy? Because it's really how I started. It was just like, you know, from the 20 years of experience, I realized it was the right way. Mm-hmm. First thing you want to do is find a low-income area.
Okay.
Low-income area, whatever zip code that is, you know, affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Find a 1,000-square-foot house, mm-hmm. you know, something 50,000 and under, 60,000 and under, to where as though the rehab or the renovation is only about $50,000 to $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be in it as less money as possible,
okay.
to where as though you can refinance that property, and that's how you're going to get your first start, mm-hmm. you know, making that $40,000 or $50,000 at the same time, you know, renting that property out or selling it.
Mm-hmm. What would you say, because you once upon a time were a newer investor.
Yeah.
You mentor several hundreds, if not thousands, of other mentees under yeah. you, whether they're in Philly or out of Philly.
Yeah.
What are some of the biggest mistakes that you normally see new investors make coming into the space that, like, literally every single time they find themselves bumping their head against a wall?
Listen, every time, listen, it doesn't disappoint not knowing how to be a contractor. I'm a licensed general contractor in Jersey and Philadelphia, and I'm about to be a licensed general contractor in Baltimore.
Okay, talk a little bit more about
that. A licensed general contractor. So by me being a general contractor, remember I told you with my first property, it took me 4 years mm-hmm. to rehab it.
Right.
So I wasn't going to go through that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what? In those 2 years, too, I learned how to be a general contractor. I learned how much a kitchen costs to renovate. I learned how much demo costs.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how much drywall costs. I learned how much all these different things cost in order for me to get in the right position to know the actual prices.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I tell you right now, a bathroom is $10,000 to do 6x6, you ain't really going to know.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to just take your word and run with it.
Like, yeah, $10,000.
Oh, yeah, $10,000.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, how much deposit do you want? $5,000, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not breaking down the full numbers. You're not breaking down how much do the tile cost, yep. how much do the Hardy Becker cost,
yep.
how much do the glue cost, how much do all those things cost.
Mm-hmm.
So in a 6x6 bathroom, you might only pay $2,000 for materials, for everything.
Mm.
So that means you want $8,000 for a week or a 2 week job?
Absolutely not.
Come on, man. Come on now.
But that's, like you said, that's coming from your experience.
That's coming from experience.
Yeah,
so I went through all this. So that's what I teach people.
Mm.
I teach you how to learn how to be a GC first.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean you got to be swinging the hammers. That means you got to know the numbers. That means you have to get a pro account at Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
That means you might got to import your flooring from overseas like I do.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have to really get into general contracting, because that's where all the money is. Like, you can look at you can go outside. We in Brooklyn right now. You can go outside and see all the general contractors out there building.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to other sites where people was not building because they lost money.
Yeah.
So the most important thing I would say is becoming a general contractor.
Outside of that first deal, because every real estate investor I sit down with, it seems like one of the biggest deal killers is messing with the wrong contractor.
Yeah, messing with the wrong contractor.
What's the worst horror story you personally have heard outside of that first deal that you had when it's come to dealing with bad contractors in the space?
I would say I've seen the story so many times, like people just running off. They don't have enough money and, you know, they run off with the money.
Mm-hmm.
They just run off because they can't get the job done or they taking too many jobs. So if a person say they got 20 to 30 jobs or I got all these different jobs going on,
mm-hmm.
first thing you want to do is, let me see exactly what you're doing. Let me see what your contracts look like.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pay you an American Express through invoice.
Why is that important?
The reason why I say that's important, because if you do anything, I'm charging that money back.
Oh, yeah,
if you do anything crooked to me or try to run off, okay, all right, I'm gonna put this in, and American Express is going to get your money automatically.
ASAP, yeah.
ASAP. So when you're paying people with cash, that's a no-go.
Mm.
When you're paying people like through debit cards, that's a no-go. So that's why that's an important way for you to use your credit.
Mm.
You know, use it on those things to where so you have a money trail.
Mm.
And if you do anything to run off outside of that, I'm going to put a lien against whatever properties you have when I research you.
What's a lien?
So I can put a Liz pendant. Mm-hmm. A Liz pendant is basically like if you do some work for somebody or you don't don't finish a contract or something like that, I can put a judgment on you and your name. And for that amount or that contract, based on what I have, all I got to do is go to small claims court, show them what I have, give them what I did or whatever, and then, you know, I put a small claims judgment on you.
What would you say, because you talked about, you know, understanding the numbers that go into working with these contractors.
Yeah.
What are some other numbers? We're speaking to newer investors. I don't know nothing
about
real
estate. Yeah, you don't know nothing, yeah.
What are the most important numbers that I need to know when it comes to acquiring my first property?
All right, so your first property, like, I would say the most important numbers that you need to know is, you know, how much is this property worth? How much is it worth? So if you buying a house for $50,000 and it's worth, you know, $60,000, it's not a good deal. So if you get a $100,000 house, you want to be at like a 60%. You know, you want to get a $100,000 house for $60,000.
Why specifically 60%?
The reason why, because now, so you can have, you want to have an exit strategy no matter what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
So say if you get stuck with this house, you know, or you don't want it, you can automatically flip that contract for 70%. Anybody's going to buy it. Anybody, you can go to the top realtors in whatever area you're in, see like what houses they sold in that area, tell them, listen, I have this house for a 70% rate. And I'm trying to move it that fast, and an investor going to automatically sell it or buy it because, you know, it's a lot of room to make some money on that deal.
One of the things I've actually heard you talk about, which I thought was very interesting, was for your personal investing strategy. You've been very outspoken about the fact that, like, when it comes to how you analyze deals, you're more cash flow than equity.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Talk a little bit about that, because naturally, you know, when we hear the talk about real estate and, you know, wealth building, it's all about like how much money is in the house.
Yeah.
So I'm not used to hearing people talk about like, well, no, like it's more so about, for you at least, it's more so about how much cash flow am I actually bringing on a month-to-month basis. Talk a bit about that.
So the cash flow is the most important thing. Like, that's the most important thing. That's why I would like to buy houses for $50,000 and $60,000, because it's a huge potential to make a lot of the money every month off of them. I do something called rooming houses, right? The property has to be zoned RM1. So say if I buy a $50,000 house, each room I can rent out for $750. So $750 times four is what? $2,800.
Yeah.
After I pay my insurance and everything, I'm netting $2,100. You gotta think. Now, say my mortgage is $500 on a $50,000 house. I'm cash flowing $2,000 off of one house. The strategy that these gurus be teaching y'all, they want you to buy 6, 7, 8, 9 houses, only cash flow $250 off of each property. Why am I getting into that much debt
to make that little
to
money
make that little bit of money? That don't make no sense.
And all it takes is one busted
one busted pipe, you're done.
Yeah.
So my thing was, I want to make $2,000 off each property and only be $50,000 in, $60,000 in. If I got five properties, I'm $10,000 every month. That's $120,000 every year. You understand?
Yeah.
So my thing is, in these properties, listen, I can have a $300,000 portfolio and I'm cash flowing $15,000 off that portfolio. You're not going to see nothing like it. If you go to the bank, you're only getting 6-7%. You know, some of these people only want 8% cap rates on their properties. I want 20%. I want 25%. I want 30%. Because if you're not doing that, you're going to be in the same rat race and you're going to be basically a supervisor. That's what you are. You are a supervisor for these big lending companies.
Right. You're like watching their money.
Watching their money, paying their mortgage down. Every month after month, year after year. And then listen, the kicker is, after you do all that, now you go in foreclosure when you can't pay.
Amen.
So you done pay all this money out for nothing. Now I got this house in the hood. I'm making $3,000, $4,000 off. I'm chilling. I'm feet up. I'm relaxing.
Right.
So that was the strategy that I learned years and years ago, and it's still very great to this day.
Are you still on the? Because from what I've learned, you kind of aren't really. Your hand isn't too much on the residential side now. You're more like focused on like the big.
Yeah.
Deals.
No.
Why is that?
So. Because I'm a big boy now, man.
Break. So talk to me a little bit about the benefits that you get on the commercial side.
All right. So listen, look, my business is set up very strategic, right?
Okay.
So I'm a general contractor.
Yeah.
So my mentees, I'm going to let them make money off the residential side. You know, I can acquire the houses. I can make money off the acquisition. I can have them making $20,000 to $30,000 off their first play as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole nother business. I got a contracting business that take care of that. So if the money that I make off my rooming houses and all those things, I put it into big boy real estate, 20 units, 30 units, mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, every year, my rent is going up 3.5% on these 15 units or 20 units. Mm-hmm. Every year, I'm making millions of dollars off of those big plays, but you have to have money to come in. Mm-hmm. You need $200,000 in order to acquire those type of properties. Mm-hmm. You need $300,000. And how are you going to get that if you're making $250 a month?
Right, right, right.
You're never going to get there.
38%. That's the amount of entrepreneurs that are struggling to get their business funded because their personal credit isn't where it needs to be. Now, you can look into alternatives like corporate credit cards and vendor accounts, but the truth is, the easiest way to get access to 5 to 6 figures in funding is to have good personal credit. As an entrepreneur, the stress of trying to build a successful business is already enough as is. So why work harder than you need to when you can simplify the funding process by getting your credit restored? My company, Takeoff Financial, has served hundreds of entrepreneurs just like you by helping them avoid the pain of getting denied for business funding by restoring their personal credit, and we want you to be the next one. So click the link above or below this video to secure your free consultation, and let's put you in position to get you funding that your business needs.
If I'm a newer investor,
yeah,
and I'm like, I don't want that little money. I want commercial real estate money. Yeah. Do you, from your experience, is it better that I kind of get my feet wet in residential and then once I get that experience, go to commercial, or can I go straight into commercial?
So it's a lot of key factors there. So for me, no, you're not going to go, or even if you got $200,000, you're not going to go straight to
commercial.
No. The reason why, because, listen, it's a lot of fees, a lot mm-hmm. of way more fees on a commercial side. Mm-hmm. Is you have to have contractors in order to make sure your building is rolling every month. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure, like, it's so many factors on that side. So no, I would say no. Mm-hmm. Start off on a residential side so you can build your team. Mm-hmm. You have to have a team. I would say your top five people that you need, you're going to need a real estate lawyer because anything can happen. You're going to need a general contractor to maintenance your building. You're going to make sure you have an accountant to make sure he can do the rent roll of the building. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you have a wholesaler. You want to have all these different people in order to be in line mm-hmm. for you to get to that next level. Mm-hmm. So that's why I would say is that you have to build your team before anything.
You know what's great about this conversation? I've heard you talk about on the commercial side. You talked about a little bit on the residential side, but you've talked about it a lot on the commercial side, how you've had deals that have taken you like a year,
yeah.
year and a half,
yeah.
2 years for you to get a return.
Exactly.
On. And I think that's so important because yeah. we talked earlier about like the social media effect on entrepreneurship. And it's like, you got new investors that may be watching this interview and it's like, I bet.
Yeah.
Got the game. I'm about to be a millionaire tomorrow.
Nah.
And it's just like, it doesn't go that way,
right? No, it
doesn't
go that way.
What's the importance of new investors understand, like, yo, you really got to come into this with a long-term mindset. Like, if you think you're going to get rich quick
it's not going to happen.
It's ball game for you. Talk a bit about that.
So I would say for me, I would say you have to have the mindset of $20,000 and $30,000 is a nice amount of money for you to make on your first and second deal. Mm-hmm. You don't think about making the millions first. Mm-hmm. Think about building up. Because, look, this is what I ask my mentees, right? I say, how much money is enough money for you to make every month in order for you to be successful? Mm-hmm. They would say, I need $100,000. You need $100,000 every month to be successful? How much money are you making right now? They'd say, $3,000 yep. a month.
Come on now.
So no, you need $5,000 or $6,000 in order for you to be successful. Mm-hmm. So I would say start small and then grow. So if you start at making $3,000, then you'll turn that $3,000 into $5,000, that $5,000 into $6,000, to $10,000, and it keeps going like that. You're not going to go from zero to $100,000. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. And that's what Instagram is showing people. Listen, mm-hmm. you're going to make $100,000 in 10 days. Look, I'm going to give you this quick play. Mm-hmm. 10 days, you're going to have $200,000 or you're going to have $300,000. All right, what you going to do with it now? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with the money? Because you don't know how to invest.
Yeah.
You don't know how to, I can give you $1 million right now, but you're not going to know how to turn that million into 2 million.
Yeah.
It's harder than what you think. Mm-hmm. So I would say, make sure you do your due diligence and start small and then scale up and get with the right people.
Even just talking about your story, like, there's a quote from I think his name is Jim Carrey. He's like, people want what you got, but they don't want to deal with how you got it.
Exactly.
And it's like, I look at you and it's like, bro, you've been in this space 20 years. Like, yeah. I think people need to really take their time to wrap them up. Bro, that's 2 decades of work.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's like somebody may look at what you have and be like, oh, I could do, bro, overnight, yeah, easy money. It's like, bro, you've probably taken some real losses.
What? I took some L's.
Like,
I took some L's in a lot of different ways, and that comes with the game.
Right.
You have to, so this is what it is. You have to realize that those L's are just lessons.
Yeah.
So I learned from each lesson. I'm gonna give you a story.
Let's do it.
So I purchased a portfolio of 4 properties. I didn't know anything about title insurance at the time.
Come on now.
Right? So when I purchased those houses, I gave them $60,000 cash. Right there, laid out.
Mm-hmm.
$60,000 cash. This is after I got my $300,000. So I'm fixing the properties up. I fix them all up real nice. Go to sell the properties. It's a mortgage attached to the property. And now I end up losing $80,000 on my first deals. That would have crushed y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You would have said, you know what? All right, I'm done with real estate because I'm losing. No, but for me, I took it as a learning lesson. Okay, we're always getting title insurance. Mm-hmm. We're always running the titles. We're always doing the L&I checks. I don't know if y'all know what L&I is. License and inspection.
Talk about
meaning,
that.
Meaning, when you purchase a property, the title company will let you transfer a lien over to your next property, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they still doing this to this day. It should be illegal that they can transfer a $30,000 loan, mortgage, or a lien or whatever onto your property from the next deal. So you have to learn from, you know, from those mistakes, and you know, and understand the game is to be sold, not told.
It's to be sold. And once again, it's like, bro, what you just talked about, like, that's the stuff that doesn't make it to the internet.
No, for sure.
But like they see the finished product and they're like, we about to get in this. I'm about to burn myself to a milli tonight. Yeah, and
tonight.
It's just like,
no, it's not going to happen.
Why do you think people are in such a rush?
It's the perception. It's the perception on thinking they want to be there. And I'm going to be honest, I suffer from that as well.
Okay.
I suffer from, you know, wanting to make it so bad, you know, wanting to, you know, be the $50 million man or wanting to be a $100 million man. I suffer from that. And at the same time, you got to think about living in the day, living in your time that you're living in as well, not just living in the future, because you can die. You can die tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can die today. But at the same time, I just want to leave a legacy. But I think people who suffer from that is because they're just trying to get somewhere fast, and then they don't actually even know where they're going at. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to get to somewhere and thinking it's going to feel like something that it might not feel like.
Jim Carrey has a quote where he says, I hope everyone can accomplish everything they ever dreamed of just so that they can see it means absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I share that quote because, you know, like we talked about, like, there are people who are chasing you.
Yeah.
Like, mentally they're like, all right, I want to be in real estate. I got to get what he has.
Exactly.
I want the jets, the jewelry. I want the multiple businesses and all this other different stuff. Right. But like you said, for you, for where you're at now, like, you've seen so much, been through so much, like, those things don't even mean anything for you. So my question is, for where you are now and with everything that you've accomplished in real estate and even outside of real estate, like, what is it that at this point that you're chasing?
So for me, you see me boots on the ground. I'm in Baltimore showing people how to buy dollar houses.
Mm-hmm.
I want to more so impact my community.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same time, I tore it down at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to impact my community, whereas though the people that look like me is actually excelling from the information that I'm telling them.
Mm-hmm.
They're buying houses. They got multiple properties. I done tore so many people and showed them and made so many people hundreds of thousands of dollars, 18-year-olds, 21-year-olds. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. So that's what I'm chasing. But at the end of the day, of course I want to, you know, make it to that top level to where it's $40 or $50 million, mm-hmm. $100 million coming from where I come from. You know, that's what I'm chasing. I'm chasing that big dream, and also just showing my community that it can be done.
Man. Workout.
Yeah.
Man, I'm happy would be an understatement for what I feel in bringing you on here, man. This was a much needed conversation, brother.
For sure.
I appreciate you for coming on here and educating the people. Inspiring the people, inspiring me, right, and putting a battery in my back, because, you know, once again, these are the conversations that we need, right? Like, you know, me, you joked about it off camera, but it's like, I could bring you on here, we could real estate play him to death.
I could have, we could have played y'all to death,
played y'all to death, but it's like, you know, y'all got the information, y'all got the game. It's just like, there's a shift that has to happen there for individuals to really get to that next level, and I think that's what happened here with this conversation. I know we got to get you out of here, but before we do, brother, let the people know where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram, workout_landlord. That's all I really have. I don't have too much. I'm really not an Instagram guy, for real. But you can find me on workout_landlord. I pop up automatically.
There you go. Listen, appreciate you for coming on, family. And more importantly, I appreciate each and every single one of y'all. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now, to go ahead, slap the like button, show the episode some love, tell a friend to tell a friend to come back, rewatch it again, and make sure you get tapped in and wrapped in with My Guy Workout. But as always, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marvin Francois. That's Workout Landlord. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you, and God bless. Peace, family.